The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome, my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet, sweetest candy pie baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
All right. This is the birthday episode.
Well, we already did that.
This episode, we're recapping the birthday.
That'll be fun for me again for the second week in a row. Fun for me and applicable and fun.
I cannot tell you how buck wild it has gotten in the mailbox, in the my brother me mailbox. We got a magazine from Golly Ollie and a Mad Libs book and $15 in stone cold cash. Like, we shouldn't be paying for
it.
Yeah, just five dollar bills in an envelope.
Oh my god, it's like a meme-aw present. Is Golly Ollie, has she secretly been our memes this whole time?
She's been our meme-aw. I have one picture of a guy dressed like a pharmacist. And on the back, it has the words "Pill Monkey Scared" written on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Got to watch out for Fireball's postcard for a podcast.
The podcast is called
Watch Out for
Fireball. And they sent you this as a gift?
A postcard, yeah. An ad, maybe. They just tricked me.
Damn it.
Joshua Noyes sent us Anthrax. By which I mean the greatest hits of Anthrax.
Oh, God. I think I would rather just have the Anthrax.
We got a wedding invitation.
Ooh. Oh, anywhere close by to any of the places that we live?
No, this is to Chicago.
I'd go back to Chicago for a wedding.
Okay, well, you can. You can go see Kristen Kotowski get married to Alastair Stewart. This wedding invite is gorgeous. I wish you guys could see it.
What's the font? What kind of font are we wearing? Would they go with
it? No, Sarah? I mean, it is completely decorated in literally dozens of different typographies. It's a gorgeous
document. Are there any gemstones imbued in the paper?
Not as such.
What would you say is the net worth of this wedding invitation?
$13,000. Joe Robson sent me a Pepsi Man action figure.
Oh my god.
We got Adam and what looks like Scrans Mickelson, that's not a real name, sent us a picture, a Grand Canyon postcard. And my man Tommy Fix sent us Space Jam, a novelization. And this is a brand spanking new copy direct from Amazon. So I don't
know. Is that book still in print?
Yes, apparently that book is still in print. Here's a picture of 17 babies' butts. And it says, you deserve a 14-bun salute.
Oh.
And it turns out this is a birthday card from my nanny. So I should not. I am sorry about that.
So as long as we're doing a mail call, I got a postcard today. Or yesterday, because mail doesn't typically run on Sundays in the United States of America.
Not as such.
And it has the lead singer of Korn on it, his face. And it says, come hear a motivational speech about the story of the lead singer of Korn. And then I turned it over, and it's for a nearby church. So that's something that I absolutely have to go to.
Is it something they've written about, like fan fiction about the lead singer of Korn that will really motivate you?
I think that there probably is a preacher somewhere in Austin, Texas, who has motivational fanfic that they wrote about Korn band members. Real quick question, has any of this been entertaining so far?
It's hard to say, but that's not really my problem. No. Nope. You know?
It's our birthday month.
But that's not important anymore.
That's bullshit.
All that's bullshit. The only thing I care about is helping people. You know? That's my thing. That's where I'm at. I want to advise people with their problems. So here's a question from them, and then we'll answer it and see if they're maybe if not better off, at least not worse. I like to write a little in my free time. I'm not super good at it, and I'm not trying to get published. But I have an overactive imagination, so it seems like a good way to burn off thoughts in my head. Ugh, that's nice imagery. I recently found a good friend of mine also writes for similar reasons. I've always wanted a writing buddy, where we could both sit down for a week or something and write.
No, for
or,
an hour.
Sorry. Sit down for an hour a week or something and write.
I just want to just come into this sweat lodge.
We're gonna go on a vision quest of writing.
Got a lot of canned
food.
No,
we don't have any food or water or anything.
There is nowhere to poop. Please do not in our sweat lodge. So turn your phone on silent. What are you doing? We are in the sweat lodge of advice right now. How can you take those kinds of distractions?
I can't. I'm completely out of the mix. I don't know what we were talking about. I don't know. It was so inconsiderate of Dad to text me to tell me that I have holes in my fantasy football lineup.
Okay.
Anyway, if we ran into a wall, we could bounce ideas off each other. Is this a good idea? How do I suggest this to my friend without sounding like I'm pressuring them or sounding like a dick? Fitzgerald seeking Hemingway.
Well, first I suggest not starting off with, I'm not super good at it.
Yeah. Can I, here's a good suggestion. Go find a new thing that you are actually super good at. Maybe. Right. Like, I just want you to start from as high a point as you, that is the biggest thing of success, is showing up and being good at the thing that you want to do already.
I think that writing is intensely personal. For me, it's like a poetry. It's like writing poetry.
Writing is like writing.
Writing books is like writing poetry.
Putting words on paper is like writing.
I've always likened poetry to like writing a song without music in it.
God, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That is some lovely imagery.
So like if I said like, I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? And then there's a question mark on it instead of a period.
Whoa. Nice. Whoa. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I can say that's mine because I didn't sing it. Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that if you go to someone and lay out this plan for them, it runs a risk of being the weirdest thing they've ever heard.
Here's really the thing, but like, I know that this happens in real life. Like, there are lots of writing teams over the years that have like come together and they have written books together and plays together and musicals together and like comedy bits together. But it always, whenever you hear the story of it or read a memoir about it, it's always so organic, and it's like,
that's the thing, we right? Organic
for the same thing, and got here's paired what you together need to by do. Somebody else.
You need to go to and say, "Hey, I've been writing something. Would love to get the feedback on mm-hmm. it, and see what you think." And then after they're done reading it, they give you their feedback. You just stand there in their room, and then you say, "Is there anything you would like to show me?" And then you wait and wait and wait and do not leave the room until you have words in your hand that they have written for your adjudication.
I also think, not trying to pass judgment, but I am, that it's a little bit weird proposition, especially considering there's no end goal and you're not trying to do anything with it. Just saying, like, we should get together.
They want to grow as writers. What's wrong?
They want to waste two people's time simultaneously. Yeah, I want to take up.
Not- it's like it's not trying to go. It's not trying to grow as writers because you don't have an end goal. You just want to burn off excess.
Why can't
creativity.
You just get?
Why can't you just be good like, at writing? Why, Travis?
I play bocce ball to burn off my excess energy, and I would love to be better at that.
No. What I'm saying is that if you go to this person and say, "I want to grow as a writer, and I'd love to share ideas and bounce them back and forth and kind of give each other notes," but if you just go to them and say, "I have a bunch of extra creativity, let's talk about
help
it.
Help me purge." Yeah, Justin, that's... do you bocce to burn off the thoughts in your head? Is that what you just said?
When I'm angry or it's been a long day at the bank, where I work, I just go home and I botch.
Justin
I
is actually incapable of dreaming, he must funnel his dreams through bocce ball.
My dreams are funneled through bocce ball, so I go out to the field or the ring or the rink mm-hmm. or the course.
And he's got a botch to feel.
I roll or toss.
Is there or anything?
Skid.
Is there anything?
You dribble the bocce ball.
Is there anything puck. You don't have in common with Cliff Huxtable? Tell me right now. Sandwiches? Check. Gynecology? Check.
I'm not going to fucking sell out to Jell-O.
That's for goddamn
big
sure.
Big Gelatin is going to keep their hands off my uterus.
Justin's always been custard or nothing.
Yeah.
Custard or nothing. Hey, that's my jam.
Real quick, if we could go, I don't know how long we're going to keep doing the show. I think we've got at least another 10 episodes in us, but if we could just go without saying the words gelatin and uterus in the same breath.
That sounds fine. I'd say 10 episodes tops. Yeah. You got to let this cannot be a relationship that you pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be something that you develop. Start small. Don't try to say, hey, I would like us to have a writing relationship that is like lasts for years and is super productive and helps us both grow as writers. You just got to say, you got to start it normal. You know what I mean? That would be like proposing marriage to the lady at the bank. Like, just say, you know,
you gotta
start the ground level.
And if you introduce this level of formality into it, then you're gonna have to lay down all kinds of ground rules. If it's organic, then you know what you're getting into. But if you have to like write up a constitution for how this thing's gonna work, then you have to be like, you know, no, I don't want to read your sci-fi erotica. Like, just that's off like the
out of bounds
off the jump. Like, I don't want that.
If it's got slash fic in it anywhere,
mm-hmm. If you write Today Show slash fic, I would like to read that.
Yeah, because what if it's like just like the Citizen Kane of slash fiction, or Citizen Kane slash fiction?
Al Roker takes out everything. He gets everything. You get to see his whole.
It's all out.
You get to see his whole tackle box.
Willard Scott dials up his list of 100-year-old perverts, and he calls them over for sex. Mm. Old smuckers sex.
This is.
And then Ann Curry's like, how could you do this to me? Jilted lover Ann Curry returns.
Do you think...
Yeah.
Do you... You know what I'm about to ask, right?
I know who you're headed. And I think,
everyone absolutely on the Today Show is secretly fucking, right?
Oh, yeah. When he's like, from the moment Roker's like, that's what's happening in our country... Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. From that moment, he's like reaching for the zipper to start blasting. He's like, get the blasting caps. I'm going to the sex mine. I have maybe 45 seconds.
While Lauer looks on.
Line up.
So Lauer.
I've got 200 in chips. Holes. It's time to play some Roker poker. Come over here, Hoda. Hoda!
Hoda, Matt Lauer, bring your weird leukemia head over here, Matt Lauer. I'm gonna blast into it. Matt Lauer used to look so good and healthy.
What happened? And, you'd see that fool at the Olympics. Like, is he competing? God damn.
He looked fantastic.
He looked fantastic. Like, I think it's like we have like a Portrait of Dorian Gray scenario between Roker and Lauer. Because one is looking 100% better, and the other one is just shriveling
Roker's
up, like,
looking fantastic.
Fucking, like Darth Palpatus or whatever.
Yeah, Lauer looks like he keeps sneaking peeks at the Ark of the Covenant. He's not looking at it full
He's
blast.
He's taking little sips out of the wrong grail.
Right. Just a little, just wetting his whistle with that.
Fuck. Why are we so mean to people we've never met?
Because we keep hoping that we will meet them and they'll at least know who we are. That's my dream.
You guys want
to
Yahoo?
I've always wanted Matt Lauer to just yell at me across a crowded bar. You!
Hey, fuck you! You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yes.
God, I have so many good ones. Thank you, everyone who sent them in. Please keep it up. It was such a joy to read these. This Yahoo was sent in by John Tabler. Thank you, John. It's by Yahoo Answers user Vela OK, who asks, what does it take to start up a new cemetery?
Commitment.
I guess. Business is going to be good. I predict more people are going to be dying all the time. Yup. I want to offer...
Bold. Nice one, Nostradamus.
I want to offer preservative-free burials so the body decomposes faster and gets back to being fertilizer ASAP.
I love that. I love that.
And that's what a great sales pitch. It's pretty green. Listen,
so
let's...
So big on that.
Right off the jump, everyone's going to die. Could be today, could be tomorrow, but it's definitely one of those
tomorrow.
Two.
It is today.
It's either today or tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody, that's true.
This is a booming business because, like, have you been to a cemetery? Have you ever been to a cemetery and been like, oh, this is so spacious? No, you haven't.
You know, this is a good point, though, because there are many cemeteries, but at the beginning, you're just going to be that guy that buried a body in his yard. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's very hard to do this homegrown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very hard to do a grassroots.
You don't see a lot of cemetery startups. You
know, right, I mean? Yeah, it's a...
Just a man and a shovel.
Completely. You know?
Things are going really good. We've moved from single hidden corpse to sort of a level, I would say, tantamount to an Indian burial ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
okay,
right now.
Okay, so here's the thought I just had. Let me throw this out.
Okay.
What?
Think of, like, a food truck, but instead... It was like a crematorium on wheels.
Travis, okay. if you took that show on the fucking road here in Austin, you would be a quadrillionaire. Everyone right? would want to die with you.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh my God!
Just think about it.
You know, Travis just said that as a joke, but like before this episode's over, he's gonna get a harried phone call from DLC. Listen,
we want to call
as fast as I could.
With your dad, while you do it,
please, just fight with your old fat dad, and please.
Can you hire some stupid guy, please, please,
please hire a dumb guy and fight with your old dad?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. It probably wouldn't succeed in Austin because everybody in Austin is like 22 years old. I think if anyone ever died in Austin, it would be like Logan's Run. Like, what? What? Why isn't he moving? This is weird. Yo, Tyler, wake up! Here's a PBR. Tyler. Come on, there's a concert in 2 minutes. Tyler? God, Tyler? He's sleepy.
Let's turn him into a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Holy shit! That could be your business. Is there any cemetery with Wi-Fi in it? Probably not. Probably not.
This is what Pom-Pom would have wanted. Mm-hmm. He would have wanted me to sit here and browse my sites.
Browsing my sites? I'm Instagramming your grave site. Do you like it? Sites,
it looks so nice.
We'll call it sites and grave sites.
I came to put some flowers on here. Instead, I'm going to grow some flowers in Farmville. I love you, Pop-Pop.
I love you, Pop-Pop. You're 22.
What would you call your truck that drove around the city and let people put dead bodies in it? What would you call that? I've been sitting here trying to think of a way to play Nash Bridges, like sort of like Ash Bridges. Yeah. And I like
Burning Rubber.
Burning Rubber is not bad.
That's not bad.
Would you have music?
Like like an ice cream truck?
Yeah, you're right, exactly. No, I think you would want to go classy. I think like hit it with Don't Fear the Reaper or maybe Whiter Shade of Pale or maybe Frankenstein.
Frankenstein that would be good. Burn all your corpses here. We turn them into fuel. I think.
What if that truck ran on the body?
That's what I'm saying.
That's energy
and
for the truck.
And you call it's totally green.
Oh, when you man, give your well. When you give your loved one over to the loving care of Burning Rubber, first of all, sorry for the Frankenstein. We are a completely green company with no overhead, and rest assured that your loved one will get us down to like the corner.
We need to pick up someone every 20 feet.
Yes. This is going to require a lot of corpses. So if you've been holding on to them for a while, that's probably not legal.
Every corpse that you pay us to burn, we'll burn the corpse of a needy child somewhere in Africa.
Oh, God.
So it's sort of, it's really nice, actually. I'm so glad Tom's got into that.
Mm-hmm.
We offer a corpse for corpse guarantee.
How do you open it? I'm sitting here. It's a real noodle scratcher. How do
you've
you?
There's got to be an extensive permit process, right?
More importantly, though, you've got to have like a pretty big install base from the get-go, right? Like you got to have like 20 corpses at the start.
Because I bet the toughest part is convincing the first person.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can't just have the first person. You have to have. They don't want to be lonely in the ground. You know what I mean? You got to have like 20 people to start it out. You got it. There has to be like
enough to keep dogs out.
There has to be like a train crash, and then you're like, "This is my moment," you know.
I bet, though, it's just like when you open like a new condo or something, a new, it, like everybody wants to get in on the ground floor, mm-hmm. and like you want, everybody wants under the trees, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get the spot under the tree.
Yes.
Sure.
God, it doesn't matter. None of this fucking matters.
Ugh. Just leave me in the alley.
Just
look.
I was thinking,
just prop me up beside that jukebox.
Is there a commercial option in the mainland United States for a Tibetan sky burial? Is that an option? Cover me in honey, leave me on a mountain. Let the birds deal with it. Fly me into the sky so I can be closer to Jesus.
Everybody read fucking Stiff by Mary Roach.
Yeah. Because you know,
stop asking about dead people and just read Stiff.
Just friend of the show, again. Mary Roach.
Dissolve yourself and pour yourself like in a gutter somewhere. It doesn't matter. You're
just eat honey for like 18 days or whatever, and then die for a while in some honey, and then have people eat you to heal themselves.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's in Stiff.
Ugh,
it's cadaver candy.
Stiff is an appropriate name for that book. I think
you have an erection
because of the erection I have. I'm thinking of eating a dead honey man. I mean, honey woman. Shit, is that gay?
You know where I want to go? I want you to melt me in that stuff from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Hey, Dylan, I finally listened to that podcast you recommended. Oh, yeah? What did you think? Well, for the first 15 minutes, they talked about things they got in the mail.
For their birthdays. For their birthdays. They talked about presents they'd received.
And they talked about death for 20 minutes, and then I hung myself. I'm a ghost, Dylan. Hi, Dylan.
And you said they talked about, like, dildos or something, but they didn't, like, electric dildos every week? That they didn't do that.
They talked about Cliff Huxtable, and then I killed myself.
Yeah, but there was, you know, the one part I did like was the money zone. I want to tell you guys about USSflagship.com.
They have, first and foremost, of all of our corporate sponsors, the best call to arms I've ever seen.
Travis, hit me with it, because I think only you're going to be able to do justice.
You got it. What's the call to action? Well, check out USSflagship.com. Read our stuff, and then do your own thing. Whatever it is. Make your dreams come true.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Right?
That gets me so excited.
Guys, I've been waiting for the push I needed, and this is it. I'm opening my own cemetery.
The flagship will host your amateur cemetery.
Guess what it's called?
Tell me.
Cementary. Because I... So, God, I fucked it. I don't know.
Don't.
It gets, there's,
no, you did your best.
Come is involved somewhere.
Yeah, there's everything. I'm looking at the flagship, and I'm seeing four or five things that I want to read right now. There's a weekly recap of Dawn of the Dead from a foremost expert on the zombie apocalypse. There's a ton of good stuff on here. USSflagship.com. And I always tell people, you know, if you're interested in writing, if you want to forge a writing partnership with somebody else, why not do it on Flagship? So that way you don't have to see the person.
I think literally at the beginning of this episode, we said, just stop writing, which I think the good people, the captains of the flagship would be, would disapprove.
Yeah. So they have a website, USSflagship.com. They also have a Twitter, USSflagship. A lot of good stuff to read. And more importantly, go do your thing there. Go get busy, you know, I have this saying that I came up with, get busy living or get busy dying, mm-hmm. I say.
I had this phrase I came up with, and it's, get busy, child. And then behind it, there's like the space is like, bow, wow, wow, bow, wow. And then I keep saying it like over and over again. And then all of a sudden, all these teens show up, and they're on ecstasy, and they're just jumping up and down, and the lights are going off, and we're just like fucking tearing this warehouse apart.
It's pretty hard.
I think I might be addicted to drugs.
I have a saying that I came up with. Mm-hmm. And we're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. Mm-hmm. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on.
Yeah.
We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Guys, where's the beef?
Got us again. Got him again. Is that something you came up with?
Got it. I did get it.
You got it. Get busy, child. So go to ussflagship.com.
Can I publish? Can I publish all those things I said?
Sorry?
Can I publish those things I said? Like, I want to find some way to profit off of Get Busy Child and Where's the Beef, but I don't know.
I tell you what, when you feel close to death, I'll visit you every Tuesday, and you tell me all the smart shit that you know about.
Okay.
And then I'll publish it in a book, Tuesday with Ditto, and we'll both get rich. I'll get rich, but I'll pay for... You'll be dead.
When you make someone rich and then you die, then you that shit pays forward in heaven.
I really hope I get to be there. If one of the five people Mitch Albom meets in heaven is Maury. I really hope he's there when Maury wants his slice. Mm-hmm.
What if it's not? Mitch. What if five people show up and Maury? And Maury's like, hey, Mitch.
This is weird. Sup? Hey, Mitch.
I thought we had like a special thing around the middle of the week, Mitch.
Mitch.
Do you remember?
I remember. Remember? Mitch, I can watch your bank statements from heaven, Mitch. Me and Jesus are very disappointed in you. All that wise shit, and you've been the one making the bank. Maury. Tuesdays with Maury. His Mitch album's hell is he has to spend every Tuesday talking to that old cantankerous bag. Tuesday, Maury was a beautiful person, and he taught me a lot. But I should have given him more money. I'm really sorry, Maury.
If he hadn't been spending Wednesdays with Maury's wife. You know,
I hope the five people I meet in heaven are in sync. personally speaking. What about you guys?
The five people I meet in heaven?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a BSB man.
You're a BSB?
What, at least one of those guys is dead, right?
As far as I know, they're all dead. Travis?
I would like to meet the four guys from 98 Degrees and only one of the guys from NSYNC, but I'll leave that up to Jesus.
Which guy it is? I want to meet the entire cast and crew of the Red Green Show, because I think that's probably five people.
Do you think that the NSYNC in heaven, they're just like fucking swamped with all of these five people appearances? Oh, yeah. Like a teenager dies, they're like, God damn it. And God's like, what? And they're like, no. And then he's like, get to work, NSYNC. I brought you here for a reason. Do you want to go to hell, like 98 Degrees?
You're on a work release program from hell.
Why are we getting so, like, we so are engaging with week. Some, like, really serious death issues.
I feel like we're playing with the Ouija right now. I feel like we've dipped into the Ouija, and we're harnessing its power.
Hey, just real quick, can I change my five people?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Trev.
Okay, because mine is going to be the five main characters from Entourage, and I'm including Jeremy Piven in there.
I like that.
Because my personal heaven is that they're all my entourage. And I don't mean the actors. I mean the characters.
Can I change?
Possible?
Can I change mine again?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I want to go with the Affleck duck, and I want...
Wait, Gilbert Godfrey?
No, the actual Affleck duck. I want him.
I thought you said Affleck duck. Like,
I want Affleck's duck. I want Ben Affleck's pet duck.
What about four Affleck ducks and Ben Affleck?
Okay.
And you have to guess which one's which.
Friends, we want to take a moment to tell you about our best friend, Bob Ball. He's a voiceover artist. He's an entrepreneur. I think I can say that. He has a show called Pop Quizzical. That you know, so many podcasts take so much of your time, like this one, for example, and all you get in exchange is us
a fucking hour of our lives that we have given to you as a fucking gift. Three total man hours of our precious lives, you thankless thug.
Bob Ball is not as generous as we are. His show is much shorter, but it is pretty great. It is a pretty great listen week in, week out. You can find it at popquizzical.com, or you can find his own page at Bob Ball VO. It's a trivia show that he hosts himself. It's beautifully produced. Had new topic every week. The most recent is about profanity, which is a lot of fun.
It's
awesome. It's fucking
pussies.
Great. He does a hint show every week, and the show is great, and it's a lot of fun, and it's sort of a quick hit to cleanse the palate.
Just a little bump. Just a little knowledge bump.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hit.
I can stop whenever I want.
There's even, if you want to dip back to episode 20, there is My Brother, My Brother and Me is a topic.
I'll listen to you. Listen, don't well, listen well, to the rest of the podcast. There. Just listen to the bit that's about us.
I don't,
get out
I
of your own asshole.
I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Number four. The fourth one's about us.
Get right. out of your asshole.
Oh, sorry. Go to BobBallVO or PopQuizzical.com. Follow them on Twitter and enjoy the show. I think you're really going
to
like it.
If you hear, while listening to the podcast, a strange echo coming from Justin's audio source, it's because he's inside his own asshole. And it's it's cavernous and marbly in there.
BobBallVO.
BobBallVO. Justin's asshole.com. Let's have another death question. This Yahoo was sent in by Jacob Locker, so you know it's going to be good. Thanks, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Philip, who asks, how much would it cost to bronze my corpse when I die? The first answer is exactly $32,988. Wow. I guess.
Is that including like all the, like the fees?
I like this idea so much. For me, personally, let me tell you why.
Okay.
Just in case I ever do something awesome enough to merit a statue built in my honor, it's like pre-pro. You know what I mean? Like, they right. don't have to worry about, I would love to build this statue in Griffin's honor. I would love to. He was a very important figure for insert important reason here. But I just don't know that we have the maintenance fees for it right now. With this, I can say, don't even worry about it. This is me. And maybe I'm standing up. Maybe I have a piece of pizza in my hand that I also bronzed. And I'm giving like a hang 10 sign with my other hand.
So kind of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pastiche.
Maybe a little TMNT. Perhaps. Maybe I have roller skates on. Maybe the roller skates aren't bronzed. Well, that's going to create some tricky feet issues. Anyway.
I researched this topic a little bit beforehand because that's I like to bring an expert sort of flair, I guess you could say, to the show. And I stumbled on a forum where writers ask about things that could happen in one of the stories that they're writing, which is always like basically the best.
Sure.
And Amy Ashley is in here asking if she can bronze a dead body. She said, I've seen it done in another book, but technically those bodies were vampires. So I think that might have been fudged.
Well, I mean, that okay. That,
so
that,
she wait.
That's completely hold on.
Wait, let me finish here. She has a few people saying that you need to make a wax sculpture out of it and then bronze it. And someone else says they think the bronze would melt the flesh. And then Amy actually dips back in four questions down and says, actually, it isn't truly human. It's more of a fish, a mermaid to be exact. I would say definitely cold-blooded.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's gonna that is going to hold up under the pressure of vulcanized metal.
Right.
Is this something that you guys would be... Because we've never talked about like what we want to do with and to each other when one of us passes away first, Travis.
Well, first and foremost, I'm bothered by the limitations of the question. I don't understand why I have to wait to be dead to be bronzed.
Are you talking full bronzing, or are you talking like a partial Tremaine?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like it would be very protective if I could just go, like, toes to neck.
Okay.
You know, leave my head out there for all the important shit, but just go toes to neck, and so then I know I'm bait. Wait, is bronze bulletproof?
It depends on how thick it is. I can tell you this, though. It is poop and peep proof.
Okay, there's going to be... Need some outlets. I'm going to need some outlets cut.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about is like a shitty Iron Man scenario.
I am Iron Man.
I'm fucking falling over. Shit, I landed on my dick outlet. Fuck, help me. Pepper Potts, help me. I peed and pooped in my bronze suit again. Watch me shoot my beams. Oh, I don't have beams? I'm just made of steel? Fuck me. Avengers, assemble! I pooped and peed in here a month ago. Master, yes, Jarvis. You smell like fucking piss on metal, and I hate it. I'm leaving. I'm an AI, and I hate it. I'm deleting myself because of how bad your pee metal smells.
I like that Travis is concerned about it being bulletproof, as if anyone would ever want to shoot a robot.
Travis, you have to worry about it being bulletproof, because I'm saying a week and a half in, you're going to be like, fucking kill me.
Yeah, okay, Justin, I want to jump back.
You're going to turn yourself
into a robot. No, if there's any gun-toting criminal that walks in because there's a man covered in metal, surely he's a robot. That man doesn't deserve to be mad at me because he's an idiot. I am not a robot. I'm still a human being. I'm just trapped in a metal husk.
Okay.
And the husk that is becoming my life because of my poor pre-planning.
Why would anyone want to shoot a man that has locked himself?
With his dick and butthole hanging out.
How just is like your
flap that people can look under and he can't stop him because he can't move his arms. Please, everyone, stop looking at my dick and or butthole.
Travis, I think they have a name for someone whose limbs are encased in metal, but whose sex organs are exposed, and that's a fuck prisoner. That's what you're setting yourself up for.
Travis, can you admit to us right now that this actually sounds like your dream scenario? All that you have to do is have food fed to you and shit where you stand, and it's totally, totally acceptable.
I don't like that you assumed that I would be bronze standing.
Okay. What
position are we talking?
Reclining on a chaise lounge like Cleopatra.
Okay.
What if that started out as the life, but then you turned into the grand prize in a high stakes race around the world or something? Because that seems like you'd be very valuable.
Or like first, I sunk to the bottom of the ocean like in AI, and then like some aliens found me in 1,000 years, but I was still alive because I didn't have to use a lot of energy to just keep my head alive.
His love is real. His intellect is not.
First place for this Grand Prix around the world is this bronze fuck prisoner. Like, what's second place, please? What's last place get me?
A lead fuck prisoner.
The worst part about being encased in metal and having people have to feed you through the hole in your face is that you can never really be particular about sandwich orders again.
Mm-hmm.
You really just have to accept whatever the person brings you. Egg salad, potato.
No, you hire someone else to smack things out of your mouth for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is disgusting. Someone scrape it. Someone scrape the residue from my mouth.
Oh, man. This turned into a Saw movie in my mind real quick.
Yeah, it seems like pretty bad. Is this what Human Centipede was about?
Mm-hmm. Kind of, only instead of bronze, it was another human's anus.
Did you guys see the new RoboCop? It was basically just a guy coating himself in metal and having sandwiches in his head and then pooping himself on a chaise lounge.
Stop that crime! Awesome. Hey, quit, guys. Cut that crime out, or else I'll make you watch what I do.
That would be a pretty good scene at RoboCop, is if halfway through the movie he realized that his suit is metal and it's too heavy for his bones.
I want you guys to know that also now in what, 128 episodes, I've now learned that this is the kind of thing that I say this as a joke and someone out there is going, Travis is so fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't work.
That would never work.
Yeah.
I can say, though, that after knowing you for almost 30 years, well, 25, that this is the kind of thing that you would actually give a lot of thought.
I would research it.
I'm not saying you would do it, but I'm saying it would occupy a lot of your faculties for, I would say, 3 to 4 days.
Well, because I would also say this. In my many years of being obsessed with really weird things that people have done in the past,
mm-hmm.
someone has attempted to do this.
Oh, sure.
I mean, here's the thing. People cryogenically freeze themselves. You don't think someone back in, like, the 1600s when people were, let's be honest, dumb, that somebody was like, I know how I'll live forever. I'll be encased in metal.
When someone...
Like, somebody's done it.
Here's the question of the hour. I die, which is never going to happen, but this is mm-hmm. a, you know, hypothetical. I die. I get my corpse frozen in bronze. What do you guys do with that? What do you do with that? Do you put that in the independently owned and operated cemetery? Do you put that in the living room as like some sort of fun statue? Do you put me in the yard like one of those kind of racist lawn jockeys?
I think that would be a great way to act as a seed for your cemetery, because people know you're serious. Mm-hmm. You know?
I also want to say
that one body above ground. That's really good advertising.
It also would be a great moment if you just like had the statue in your home and friends came over and they were like, "Well, that's a really a detailed statue." And you say, "Oh, thank you. It's my brother." Mm-hmm. And they say, "Oh, is it like to commemorate him or how did he die?" And you're like, "Oh, no, no, no. That is my brother. Mm-hmm. That is in fact."
Yeah. And P.S. Weird person that's in my house. If I have a statue cast in honor of my brother, it will not have his genitals exposed.
Yeah.
So,
P.S. person with him. Oh, where are you going? You don't want to see that? You don't want to talk about my dead brother stat? No, all right.
I want to. You're going to talk about the Mormon faith. I'm ready to listen.
It would literally be like, I wouldn't even need to see all of it. Like around as I came through the door frame, as soon as I saw like the the tip of his bronze dead nose, I'd be like, "Oh, hold on, I've got a phone call in my car phone." Bye.
Yeah, but tip of his dead bronze nose. We could play Family Feud and have people guess how you were going to end that sentence, and Survey would never say nose. It would never ever say nose. No, I've listened to my brother a few times. I'm pretty sure he's not going to end the sentence with nose. Let's go to the leaderboard. Let's check it out. Survey says no, 100% said dick. Everyone said dick, it seems. 100%, you get 100 points.
Justin, no this is points. The worst Louis Anderson impression I've ever heard.
Let me try again. Okay. Let me try again. No, it's Ray Combs. Let me try Louis Anderson. Shut up. I'm trying to do my Louis Anderson.
Wow, 100% of the people said dick.
That's
by Bruce Vilanch. Fuck. I saw Bruce Vilanch on Shark Tank yesterday. That son of a bitch was pitching a software to teach old people how to use internet, how to use it, how to harness its power.
I mean, I would want.
I don't know
like,
why
that's
Bruce
like
Vilanch
creating
is on
a
there.
Book to help illiterates learn to read.
Yeah, right. Like if I could log into computer classes, then they seem to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when before the jump we were like, we've got to move through these questions faster? But right now I'm right. Googling Richard Karn to like make a timely Family Feud sure. Richard Karn joke. And I think that's
nice Karn bon mot.
I think maybe we should move on.
I have a roommate who's constantly eating my food. He will always eat 99% of something and leave one item left. For example, he ate most of my pretzels, but left one and ate a full jar of pesto with said pretzels, but left a spoonful of pesto. He ate an entire bag of gummy bears, but left a single bear. I feel petty asking him to stop eating my groceries, but he doesn't do any grocery shopping on his own. How should I deal with this without sounding like a petty roommate? Like,
okay, here's the thing. What? Redefine what the word petty means to you.
He's eating you out of house.
He's eating your shit and doesn't buy his own shit.
More importantly, though, he's leaving a single element of it left saying, now there's still some for Jeff to enjoy.
There's one Pringle in this fucking can.
Once you pop, you literally have to stop, Jeff, because I ate the other 99 Pringles. Did you know every can of Pringles has exactly 100 Pringles in it?
Jeff, you're basically living with a bear, but worse, because at least the bear will eat everything, and it will, like, you just gotta throw it away after a bear's done with it. But this guy's eating you out of house and home. There's no, I mean, you can't.
Like, how far does this go? Like, he leaves one square of toilet paper that you bought? He leaves the core of the apple?
I boned your girlfriend, but I stopped right before completion.
Can we lay out a dictate to America and the world, but mainly America, because I don't know what's going on elsewhere. If you cannot afford to live in an apartment by yourself, you have to live with your parents or be homeless. You can't. No one can live with anyone they are not dating anymore. That's simply untenable.
I didn't know it before this. All roommates are awful.
They're the worst.
Listen,
Brent Wolfloss was my roommate. I love him very deeply. We are still best friends, and we lived together for 3 years. If you ask either one of us, like, did you at any one point 100% enjoy living with each other, the answer is no.
Yeah, but you don't 100% enjoy, like, any person. Like, that's – you're going to have –
I 100% enjoy my wife.
Yeah, and I enjoy my girlfriend. Hi, sweetie. I'm saying, though, like – you're going to have friction with anybody that you live with over something, even if it's...
No, I think the problem is that you don't have friction with the person, because then that's when the real problems arise.
What
I meant
I meant, I got that. You meant like
you don't want to like fuck your roommate. Don't fuck your roommate. Like, first off, don't do that.
I do think that is an option, though. I think that's an option is to, even if you're a heterosexual and you cannot afford to, like, you have to live with someone of the same gender as you.
Just go ahead and get it over with.
Just go ahead and get it over with.
I want you to eat this last gummy bear. Only, what? It's not in the bag. Where could it be?
Can we suggest that? Like, can you do, maybe not a sexual relationship.
I meant, like, in his butthole. But, and then, like, he would have
to eat the gummy. Couldn't you? Thank you for clearing that up. I needed a road sign to find that one. What if you were to just say, like, we're not in a sexual relationship, but as long as you live here and I live here, there is no boundary. Like, we are literally in this thing together. We are living as a unit. I think that that might be a possible.
Isn't that what, like, the majority of 80s sitcoms was about?
I think, yeah, like Perfect Strangers, I think, was exactly about
this. I don't think the guys in Perfect Strangers ever fucked each other.
No, I'm not saying they
fucked.
I'm not saying they fuck each other. I'm saying, like, they combine
their
resources.
Butt and their wiener and do not, to stand tall on the wings of their dreams.
Like, they don't have two milks. There's just the one milk, and they're both sharing it. And if you don't have any groceries, like, that is a problem both of you have.
Listen, yeah, and question asker, it is not fucking petty. It is the worst thing in the world when you come home and you're like, no, all I want is to dive into that bag. It's the worst roommate situation in the world, okay. You guys, okay? It's not the worst thing. Worst roommate situation in the world. When, like, you've been sitting at work and you're like, man, I just had the worst day, but I bought myself that bag of gummy bears yesterday when I was shopping for just such an occasion. I'm just going to dive headfirst in that bag of gummy bears. You come home, one fucking gummy
bear. Do you remember that when, like...
Just super quick, real quick sidebar. If you're in this situation, it may be time to consider getting a new job. If the highlight of your day is the gummy bears you're going to eat later... Please,
you might just be a redneck.
Yeah, you're time not to go to Resumator and start seeing what's available because you are in
Listen,
a bad
Justin,
job.
I don't know what kind of posh, high-level upper management jobs you've had in your life. You've never had a job where the highlight of your day is going to be the fact that you bought yourself, like, an ice cream treat.
Uh-huh. And then maybe after that, maybe you'll kill yourself. Maybe.
What? So, okay, Travis, walk me through the narrative here. This person goes to the grocery store, buys an ice cream treat, and says, hang tight, little buddy. I'm going to talk to you.
Yes, I don't know what kind of idealistic lives you guys have led, but sometimes, you know, you got to buy your bread, you got to buy your milk, you got to buy your shit, but then you go, you know what? This box of candy, this is just for me when Travis is in trouble. You know, this is for emergencies only.
This,
break glass
this,
in case of bad
this
day.
Blank box of mysterious unlabeled candy. What could be inside here? It's like Jumanji in candy form. I can't wait to eat this when I get home from the office.
You guys have never had emergency treats?
Not that defined the course of my entire day. No, Travis.
Out of years of your life, 365 days, you've never had one day where you think, like, ooh, I've got a steak at home. I'm going to eat that today.
I have.
Make everything better.
But then
do I just live, like, a horrendous food-based lifestyle?
You've been grief-eating for, like, a decade, I think. Like, it's, yeah. Yeah, no, that's not great, Trav. That is not great behavior.
That's not great. That's not ideal.
I'll have you know that I met with a personal trainer yesterday, and he said my body fat percentage was fair.
Your body is amazing, but...
My body is a wonderland.
Let's just... it sucks, but it's not the... Do you remember 30 episodes or so ago when the guy talked about how his roommate fucked on his bed and left, like, a love mess whenever he did it? Like, that's...
He left one gummy bear sitting
in
the middle of the
love
mess.
He left sexadoo all over the bed.
Yeah, he left his leavings, and, like, that...
I fucked in your bed, and also I ate all but one of your gummy bears.
His detritus. I think that you should count your lucky stars.
There was enough left there that a bloodhound could track him through the streets of London. Precisely. Let's put it that way. Let's leave it at that.
God, yeah. God, I'm so glad I'd never have to do that again. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah. Please.
This Yahoo was sent in by Valerie Rogers. Thank you, Valerie. It is by Yahoo Answers user Paul, who asks, what is the sexiest dog? I sometimes jog in the dog park around the corner from where I live. The other day, I got talking to a model who was walking her dachshund, said she would like to see me again. I told her I walk my dog there a lot, so she would probably bump into me sometimes. Problem is, I don't have a dog. I now have to buy one so she doesn't know I was lying to her, so I could maybe get laid. I am wondering what type of dog I should get. I want to get the sexiest dog possible, so I have the best chance at getting into her pants. What kind of dog? What do you dog owners suggest? Which dog is more likely to drive her crazy?
I'm having a seizure about
this. I also need one that doesn't make much noise because my wife can't find out. She doesn't like dogs.
Ah, twist.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, right there at the end. You didn't think it. I thought it was so bad, but now I see it for what it truly is.
You got a Yahoo Shamalian'd. Is that how you say his name?
I think it's got to be an Afghan hound. Their hair looks like a beautiful lady's hair hanging down.
Yeah, that's not bad. What about something that has even, like, a suggestive name, like a schnauzer? You know what I mean? Because whenever I hear a schnauzer, I think of...
Like how a barbet is called a gun dog by the United Kennel Club.
Well, a gun dog. I was more thinking of like you could ostensibly refer to your penis as like your schnauzer. You know what I mean?
Why don't you get a human slave dressed as a dog and walk him through the dog park?
This is good. This is a good line of dialogue for us to go down.
And you want
to
know something? People do that. That exists. I saw it on an episode on, I believe, TLC.
Let's clear up real quick, though, just for a second. When you say human slave, you're talking about an S&M thing and not a literal not slavery like thing.
On the black market.
Okay.
No, I'm talking S&M, a BDSM kind of thing.
Okay.
And the person, you know, they wear snout and dog ears and whatnot. You get them on a leash, they crawl on all fours through the dog park. And I don't know whether they use the bathroom like a dog, but hey, I think it's safe to assume.
Okay, I'm gonna need about 15 minutes to just jerk it real quick. Can we take a break? Can we have a brief jerk it recess?
Yeah, and then we'll edit that out.
And we're back.
And oh god, there was so much.
Hey, can I ask a real quick favor from people who are into S&M? You know I'm into it. You know I'm down with you having your lifestyle. Could you not take that whole scene into a public forum where that's going to be that person's whole week? Like,
unless
there's
a special park that's just for that.
Don't smell his ass. Just kidding. Go for it. You have to. Do it, you bitch.
Wild.
The place in which I saw this occurring, it was an S&M pair in San Francisco.
Well, that seems like the kind of place where that would happen. Yes. Yes, of course.
So I'm saying maybe this is a special dog park, but can you imagine being a regular dog owner that's just like, oh, a new dog park?
Maybe in like the deep, like Denton, Texas or something like that. Like, oh, this is not a thing that has ever happened in this whole zip code. Cool. Justin, you got real quiet. Are you okay?
Sometimes it gets...
Is it too real?
The walls you try to put up for yourself, you think that they're to keep...
We have an agreement.
I know it's Justin inside, but it turns out the walls have been there to keep all of this out the whole time.
Because maybe, just maybe.
Maybe.
It's your thing.
It's got to be somebody's thing. What if it's my thing? Like, how much of me guarding myself, maybe some of my social anxiety can be traced back to the fact that I'm constantly worried. I'm going to be like, woof, let's fuck. Yeah. I need it.
But we have to. We can't let those fears control where we go on this show. You know, we have to have this agreement. No limits, no restraints. Take this pill. Let's go down this sexual oubliette together.
Some restraints, but only if they're extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go down this hole.
Gotta go one way or the other.
We have to figure. We got it. This show is a sexual spirit journey, in more ways than one. And when we start pulling back a little bit, when we start holding back the reins.
Do you remember 3 years ago when we sat down and we started discussing doing this show and we said, we're going to do this show for one reason and one reason alone, to learn about ourselves sexually.
Come, my brother, come listen to three brothers discover themselves sexually.
Open their flowers to new possibilities.
You remember when we were coming up with names for the show, and I thought that Itu Hermano Tambien was gonna be where we should land.
Okay, I do think that making this show has skewed my perception of what it. I do not think I have a barrier for what is normal.
Weird. I used to think things were weird.
Nothing's weird.
Do you remember?
Everything is beautiful.
Do you remember like 100 episodes ago when we were like, hey, furries, right? And now we're all basically furries.
And now I legit, no joke, if I hear someone out in real life make fun of the furries, I will interject into a stranger's conversation and be like, excuse me, that's actually coming from a very uninformed place, oh, and man. Let me tell you what you need to know about the furry community.
Are we a microcosm of this experiment called America?
I hope
that the amount of progressiveness that we show on this show every single episode, I think if we can take steps forward like that as a fucking nation, then we are going to turn into like a Hellraiser-esque dimension of pain and pleasure.
I think initially we did have, we had a lot of socially accepted bigotry.
Yeah.
I think when we started, we had a lot of socially acceptable barriers.
I was not into interracial marriage. I was right. Firmly anti-interracial marriage.
I didn't believe an older person could truly love a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know.
We used to be the only person we have gotten irrationally angry at, and I have not regretted as jugglers. I still feel like we were pretty much on the money with jugglers. I want to keep that feud going. Mm-hmm. But literally everything else, I am sorry for any time we've judged.
Now, is that your Appalachian affectation on the word juggalos? Hey man, you got a festival with a bunch of jugglers around.
I would marry my firstborn daughter to a juggalo before I let her date a juggler.
Wow.
I want to leave it at that.
Wow, Adam.
By saying that, my future daughter is going to listen to this and date a juggler to piss me off. God damn it.
Kids, right? Nah. It's like we work so hard for you to not date anyone who suspends balls in the air.
That's all I ask. That's all I ask is to stay away from wizards and prestidigitators and jugglers. Mm. I don't like anybody who does tricks. I don't think it's so wrong.
Our dad was murdered at a carnival. Have we ever talked about the fact our dad was murdered at a carnival?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, it's...
Although, I would like to throw out a special thanks to our adopted father, Clint McRoy. By which I mean, we adopted him.
Clint, you've done such a great job raising us, but the scars of our former dad's carnival murder, unsolved carnival murder...
When Emilio McRoy died.
I feel like it really informs a lot of the stuff we talk about on the show. I'm amazed that we've never talked about
it. Are you sure it hasn't come up?
It seems like it would have come up, the fact that our dad was killed by a juggler. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can't prove that he was the prime suspect. Could have been anybody. Could have been the bearded lady. Could have been the lizard man. True. Could have been Duncan Booth. Maybe a knife thrower. That seems accurate.
Could have been, oh, shit, cotton candy guy.
Cotton candy guy.
Last person you ever suspect. He doesn't have any superpowers.
This cotton candy tastes like my dad. What? Spun to death.
He made it from Emilio.
All right. Guess his weight.
Let's end the show.
Well, I was going to keep making like carnival chips.
Okay, go ahead. I got to grab a washcloth.
What's wrong?
I spilled some coffee.
Okay. I was gonna say, like, guess his weight.
Oh, hey, Griffin.
Oh, okay, what's up?
Nothing. We never talk
again. Yeah. What's are you seeing anybody?
I mean, not right now. Why do you ask?
I mean, like, are you dating?
Well, no. I'm engaged, so no. Did I not tell you that?
Who are you engaged to?
To my fiance.
Right, but who the fuck, like, Jesus, man. What happened to us?
Sorry, I was trying to hold out. But,
thank God Justin's back.
Thank you, everybody, for continuing to bear with us. I know that it got a little weird, I guess you could say, this week, it seemed to me.
You know what's funny? I don't think it did. Comparatively, I would this one's probably just middle.
I don't know. I feel like we made people come face to face with their own mortality probably more than they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And their own sexuality. Like, what other podcast offers you an ability to look into the future and both see yourself dead and see yourself in a leather dog costume?
Sex and death. It's the two primal forces of life, according to the pilot episode of The Wonder Years. So
thank you to everyone who was mailing us stuff. Want to mail us something, it's P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. Thank you to people tweeting about the show. Lee Mahi, Not Zach Newton, Brandy. Not Zach Newton's name. I'm not calling out someone named Zach Newton for not tweeting about the show. Cost Bizzle, East Coast Dandy, K Crushing, Charlene 519, Sam Barsanti, I Am Feminista, The Rab, Subrandom, Dart, Catal, Sketchy TK, Radigal 1000, everybody. And make sure you follow MBMBAM Wisdom. It is a Twitter feed that only tweets quotes from the show, so that's pretty good.
Sometimes when you say the names of people on Twitter, you say them in like kind of an incomprehensible manner that makes it sound like you're reading off some sort of incantation. Like you're casting some sort of shitty spell.
I am. I'm casting a spell of love.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Did you guys know that John Roderick was working on a Christmas album with not John Hodgman, but the other John? You know, the other John? Jonathan Coltrane.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, it's him and John Coltrane. They're working on an album together. It's called Smoky Christmas. No, it's called Holidays with a Z-E, and it's actually Jonathan Colton, and that's not the name of the album. But my keyboard is really loud, so if I Google it, then everybody's going to know. So I'm just going to fess up. Right now, don't know the name of the album, but Google John Coltrane, John Roderick, Christmas, Together Forever, and you should find the album that I'm talking about. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think you could say, if you say John Roderick, Jonathan Colton, John Coltrane, if you search all three of them, you will find it, I think.
I also, if you wouldn't mind, we haven't made this plea in a while, if you could like tell a friend about our podcast, if you could just like reach out to somebody that you're close to, that you're friends with, that you think they share your comedy sensibilities, and maybe reach out to them, extend the olive branch, and share a link to our podcast or our sampler, bit.ly, it's mabimbam, then that would be good for us, because we want to spread our reach. We want you guys to evangelize.
Now, Griffin, if I'm not mistaken, you do have a final question for us.
I do. It was sent in appropriately by Krista Whalen. Thank you, Krista Whalen. Oh, Throwing Shade has... Oh, listen to all the other Max Fun podcasts. MaximumFun.org. Go listen to them. Throwing Shade, Jordan Jesse Go, International Waters, Judge John Hodgman, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Risk, Memory Palace. Is that all of them? Throwing Shade has requested, or actually a listener of Throwing Shade requested on the last episode, that they and us, we and they, switch catchphrases.
Okay.
Just a little bit of cross-promotion, a little cross-marketing.
A little cross-promotion.
Krista Whalen sent this one in. Thank you, Krista Whalen. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jamie, who asks, anyone else have the phobia that Batman's going to smash your head into the mirror while you're peeing?
I'm Dustin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother and Me.
Don't die.